All right, let's bring on Andy Bagley, CSN Bags with two G's. Always a pleasure. Andy, how are you today?
What's up, Andy?
Hey, Marty, I'm good. Hey, Beacon, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good. Now, who did you grow up listening to? What was your favorite broadcaster growing up? Because we're doing a lot about Lon Simmons today, and I know you know Lon, but who was it for you?
Oh, yeah, and wasn't that great, the ovation he got wearing the number 90 on his back? It was the throw to home plate. That was really neat to behold. And I think there are a lot of broadcasters who are coming out of college or just starting their career who would love to come up with a catchphrase like, tell it goodbye. That's a pretty good one, a pretty classic one. I don't think that's ever going to go out of style. But for me, I mean, it's kind of a stock answer, but Vin Scully is the guy who comes to mind for me. I'm from Chicago, but mostly grew up, went to high school in Southern California. So, you know, it would be Dodger games on KTLA, Angel games on KCAL, and listening to Vin on the radio. And Ross Porter a little bit, too, and finding out what guys were hitting on Tuesday night games, because Ross loved every split, every stat. But you knew, even without in that era where you didn't have all the games on extra innings or whatever, or be able to listen on the MLB app, when you only had one broadcaster and it was Vin Scully, you still knew you were listening to something special, even when you didn't have anybody else to compare it to.
Yeah, and Lon was that way for people here with Russ Hodges. And as I said in the preamble today when we started in, they brought baseball, Major League Baseball, to San Francisco and introduced the Mazes, McCovey, Cepeda, Davenport, Willie Kirkland, Leon Wagner. And those first 10 or 12 years of Giants baseball cemented in what Giants baseball is today.
Yeah, and when you think about, I think it's true for a lot of the announcers or writers in the Hall of Fame, what makes them stand up sometimes is hitching your wagon to those stars, those indelible stars, Willie Mays, Mickey Mantles, the names that are just always going to be, baseball royalty. And I think of the Nick Peters, who covered the Giants for years and years for the Sacramento Bee, certainly didn't have a national profile, but worked in the trenches, did the job that everyone could admire for a long time, and covered Willie Mays for probably longer than anybody else, and that's probably more than anything why he got enough votes to get in the Hall of Fame, and it was richly deserved. And I think it's pretty cool when I look back and I think, well, gosh, maybe hopefully, getting to cover Tim Lincecum's Cy Youngs and his no hitter and the two World Series. I mean, I consider myself incredibly fortunate for the time that I spent on the Giants beat and what's happened with the franchise and with the city in that time.
Boy, how about me? You want to talk about being lucky?
Absolutely.
You know, being in the right place at the right time. You mentioned Nick Peters, and I want to acknowledge Nick. Of course, J.G. Taylor Spink Award winner, longtime Giant beat writer. Nick is up in Sacramento. I know he listens all the time. John Shea went up there last night.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Andy, you know that Pat Hughes, we talked about the Pat
sure.
Hughes CD of Lon Simmons
yeah.
and Russ. And John got one for me last night and one for Nick Peters as well.
So oh, know, good.
So he brought it up last night to Nick up in Sacramento. So, Nick, if you're listening, we miss you, and you did a great job. And Bob Stevens was another one,
okay.
You know, who covered Mays and had the great comment, when Mays hit the shot into the gap, he said the only guy who could catch it was the guy who hit it. And it's one of those, tell it goodbye. That's one of those Bob Stevens lines that you'll never forget.
Yeah, and we even use it. We recycle it time and time again. We see it in the press box all the time. The only guy who can catch it, hit it. It's a great line. It's definitely a gold standard type of line.
Oh, beautiful. Andy Bagley with us. Andy, let's go to the big question. That is Matt Cain. A third of an inning against the Mets, 2 1/3 against the Dodgers. We're talking about Matt Cain here. What's going on?
You know, Marty, I did not realize that until you mentioned it. He has the highest home ERA in the National League or the Major League?
Major Leagues.
Majors.
Yeah, I took it this morning. 5.94 ERA. Home ERA is the worst in MLB.
Among qualified starters,
right.
I'd imagine. Yeah, I did not realize that. That's pretty remarkable. And we talk a whole lot about Barry Zito's road splits and just how topsy-turvy those are. Cain has not necessarily pitched great on the road either. As I wrote in my midseason review on CSNBayArea.com, he's the number one key, I think, to this team, because they win with pitching. They've always won with pitching in this post-Bonds era, and the pitching staff will take their cues from Matt Cain. And he's still the leader of the staff, even though he's had his struggles this year. And, there's a lot of questions about just how healthy he might be. We all know what some of the background is with the loose bodies in his elbow. And I'm sure that that's got to drive Matt insane, because the last thing he wants is for people to be wondering if he's healthy. He's a very stoic guy, as we all know. But I think it's as much as yesterday's win did wonders for the team. I think seeing Matt King go out and dominate would really set this team's confidence in a whole new direction.
Yeah, definitely. It's almost like Matthew Broderick in glory, picking up the flag and racing it up Fort Sumter's Sandy Hill. You know, he's got to carry the flag for the Giants. And I know he doesn't want to hear about it.
Wait a second. He got shot in the chest like six times right after doing that.
There's no film baseball jinx, I'm telling you. But it was a very noble ending, I'd say, right, Andy? And, well, let's talk about his health, much like Colonel Shaw's in glory. I mean, I had heard that he had to get a shot in his pitching elbow, right, or a cortisone shot. And I don't know how. I need two sources, so I only have one. But his velocity doesn't seem to have dipped. Do you think something like that may have actually come to pass?
Well, it's easier to pitch when you don't have a musket ball in your lung. But
can we put that to the test? Has anybody ever tried that?
No, I probably inadvisable. But you're right; his velocity is not dipped. You look at his face, and you see him, wincing or straining. There are times that I think he's definitely shortened up his delivery. Yeah. Times he's gotten away from his slider. Those are all little warning signs. And everybody who's pitched as much in the major leagues as he has is going to have some things they have to fight through from day to day. And I think the really good ones are the ones who are able to compete and give the team a chance to win when you have no idea what they're pitching through, because they don't let it on. And baseball is such a grind, as we all know. And being able to play hurt, being able to not only take the field but be effective when you're 80%, 70%, even worse, I mean, that's a skill. That's as much a skill as being able to make contact or being able to throw at a certain miles per hour. I think we saw Marco Scudero do it last year in the NLCS when he was banged up a lot more than anybody knew. That's the kind of stuff that'll carry you through a season. And if Matt King's got to do some of that in the second half, then I think that's just what he's got to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can't be two and a third or a third. I mean, he's got to, give you something that you can work with. And I think that's the biggest challenge for him. And I think you're right. He shortens up the delivery, shortens up his arm, and gets too much of the plate, and the ball's not snapping. Which brings me to Vogelsong. And you did a great piece on your blog on Vogelsong. Godin, I would agree with you, should stay in this rotation. Why not? How do you take him out? But what do you think is going to happen with Vogelsong? He's been out a while. He needs like almost a spring training to come back. August 9th, is that a realistic date to join the rotation?
I think it is, especially when you hear Bruce Bochy say, hey, look, I'd take him with 80 pitches right now. And he threw 60 pitches in his last bullpen session. And it's going to take him a while to get the touch and the feel back. And we know that it really wasn't good for him at all before he got hurt, up until the start that he did get hit by the pitch. Then he was really dealing. But you know what? The other thing is, we're talking August the 9th here. We've got a trade deadline to get through. We've got a few weeks of the season to get through. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Lincecum in relief. Now we're talking about, well, maybe Berizzito gets bounced. And I think they're just going to react to things as they see them in the present day. So, it's an interesting thing to think about, because that's what we do in our business. We look down the road a little bit. But I think those decisions will be made when the time comes. And we got a lot more information, fact gathering, before that time would come.
Yeah, I agree, Pat. And we talked about it. This homestand, Andy, it's huge for me. And it ends just about when the trade deadline has to kick in. So they got it off to a good start last night. Godin pitched great, and it's Kane tonight. This ball club is still in it very much. Five back in the loss column. The Dodgers are starting to win. Arizona, I think it's starting to take on a little bit of water. Adam Eaton is back. I like him. But you look at the Arizona club, they're not winning on the road now. They're struggling right now.
Chad Goodan's got his fourth win last night, right? Ian Kennedy's got three.
Yeah, how about that?
And this is a guy who was fourth in the Cy Young voting. Now, I was listening to the Midnight Replay with Dave Fleming last night, and he's introducing every Arizona hitter in the first inning, and da-da-da, Miguel Montero batting .220, and here's Parra, the Diamondbacks expected a lot out of him, but he's only hitting .240 or whatever. And there's so many guys in that lineup that have underachieved. Goldschmidt, obviously, has not. He's been terrific. But they had Aaron Hill gone for a long time. And I started to think, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Because maybe you think, well, it's a good thing. These guys are all having bad years. And the Diamondbacks can't possibly, sustain this. But then you think, well, maybe it's a bad thing, because all these guys have done more in their careers. And some of these guys could get hot and they could really get on a streak. So I don't know. What do you think, Marty? Is that, what do you think about Arizona and just a lot of the struggling players they've had? Is it a good thing or a bad thing that where they sit at the present time?
Well, I think it's a bad thing for them because it's just like a Brandon Belt or someone on the Giants where you look at after, 400 at-bats, you're getting close and it hasn't happened yet. That's a pretty good sample for me. So I think if you haven't hit your stride by now, I don't think you're going to go crazy for the last couple of months of the season. Martin Prado, I said it last night.
Huge disappointment.
I'm looking at his numbers. I'm saying Martin Prado's hitting 250.
Not good enough.
And he just has never been able to break out of it. So I think at this stage of the season, you give him another couple of weeks. If they haven't really pulled out of it, I think that's who you are for the season. I think you get your 400 at-bats, and that's who you are.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think if they played a little bit better, then maybe Kevin Towers would go out and be, quite a bit more aggressive, kind of like what Brian Sabian is in the situation. You don't want to really give up a lot of top prospects to bolster a team that really isn't wowing you or you don't think is one player away. And we know the Dodgers will go out and get everybody they can. So that may end up being the difference in the division. I think just who's the most aggressive at the trade deadline and which clubhouse gets the biggest bounce. We've seen that many times.
And who can win an interleague? And I've said this a lot. There's 12 interleague games left. Arizona's got a bunch left, if I'm not mistaken, too. And Giants are 2-6.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks have the Rays, Rangers, and Red Sox in a row. So that's a pretty tough threefer going there.
Yeah, they played six games in interleague.
Wow.
And the Giants have to go play in Tampa. And let's hope
and New
for
York.
Sake, it goes better on Astro or not on that field turf than it did in Toronto when they looked like they were playing in zero gravity. They had no idea what they were doing on that turf in Toronto. Those were probably two of the ugliest Major League Baseball games I think I've ever seen. So they got to go back and play on that stuff again. And maybe they'll go out I guarantee you they're going to go out and take infield, do some early work when they get to Tropicana Field on that next road trip, too.
Yeah.
But. But the Giants have to win outside the NL West. They've done a great job against
That's
the division.
Right.
Like you mentioned, they've done a great job against the Diamondbacks. But they've got to win outside the NL West, and they've got to win on the road. They've got to win more on the road. At least split series. At least get to the point where you're winning series, picking off games here and there. You don't need to go 6-0 on a road trip, but I think you're at the point where you got to go 4-2 and then look to really clean up at home. And they're behind the eight ball a little bit.
You're right. Boy, this stuff. Andy, you know this stuff. You seem to know this stuff. Very good. Andy Baggerly with us. Just to finish up the interleague, Tampa Bay down there, as Andy says, the Yankees in New York, the Red Sox and Orioles come in here. And then there's a whole slew of outside.
Tampa's the hottest team in baseball right now.
Yeah, now I want to say this, Andy. There's a lot of scouts here now. The Tampa scouts are here now. The Minnesota scout is here now. There are a couple others here now, and those are teams sort of looking for relief pitching or looking to move relief pitching. So it wouldn't shock me if one of the relievers goes.
No, I don't think so. Maybe it's not Perkins or closer because they might ask too much for him, but maybe a Casey Fine. He's a guy who's got a great strikeout-to-walk ratio. He's having a really good year. The whip is really low. Henry Shulman threw out Irvin Santana today of the Royals, if the Royals fall out of it. And he's, another guy's got a good strikeout-to-walk ratio, and he'd be more of a rental. It'd be paying the freight type of a deal. And I think that the Giants will add to their payroll if they see something, but I don't think that they're going to give up prospects for a rental-type player. But they could use another right-handed pitcher, no doubt, even though some guys in the bullpen are throwing well right now. The fact that Jeremy Affeldt has really struggled up until his last couple outings has to be a little cause for concern. Getting Casilla back is a big deal. I think the reason Bochy could go right, left is because he had that second right-hander in Casilla that he could trust last night. And Bochy and Sabian always value the bullpen. Going out and getting another bullpen arm, I think, is probably a pretty safe bet. And another starting pitcher, I think, would really help the situation. Even if you leave Gaudin in the rotation, you're not so reliant on Vogelsong coming back, and maybe you can try to give Barry Zito a break, because obviously what we've seen on the road is nothing good at all.
No, you can't have that. Boy, Andy, nice to have you with us. Henry Shulman last night was so excited because Romo had a 1-2-3 ninth inning. Henry charts how many times he does that, and when he does it, Henry, celebrates and points out that earlier in the season, he didn't have so many 1-2-3 innings. But now he's doing it repeatedly, and it makes Henry's night when that happens.
Right, so, sure.
Well, I'll tell you what makes a beat writer's night is when the closer converts the save. Now, you know that we don't really root for the team to win or lose.
No.
I think it's okay to root for good stories. But when you've got a whole story written and you're ready to hit the send button, having Armando Benitez as your closer is not a good thing for a beat writer. I'm going to tell you right now. And I know that I got Benitez from the baseball gods because I covered Eric Gagne during his Cy Young season with the Dodgers when he didn't blow a save all year. So, you know, having Sergio Romo knocking those saves down is just fine by the beat crew because that means that we don't have to rewrite our whole stories in about the span of 3 minutes.
I've never seen Henry as excited that there was a 1-2-3 ninth. He was counting it in. It was really interesting last night.
And he got quotes from Sergio last night, which Sergio said never happens.
Henry was in cloud nine last night.
I got to ask Andy about beat writer culture. One more question is, I heard the great Al Pavlovich on with Ray earlier today, and Alex said that even though he was sick, that he could beat the other beat writers in a race around the park. How do you respond to that, Andy?
Oh, now, are we talking a foot race, or if he put us in a swimming pool and Alex is going to crush us? He's a pretty good swimmer.
Yeah, he's a fit dude, but Andy, you're no slouch either, man. Yeah, he was talking foot race, so you think Alex was just talking trash, or you think he could really... I know he could beat Hank Schulman in a foot race, but I'd say you'd give him a run for his money.
Well, it depends. If there's a pizza at the finish line, all bets are off.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
That's right. That's the old Benny Hill thing, right?
Very good.
Yeah, so very good.
Andy, thank you so much, as always. And you coming out tonight?
I am. I'm heading
good.
The park right now.
Oh, I'm good.
I'm going to see Ryan Vogelsong face some hitters in a little bit, and we'll see you there.
Terrific. Andy, thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
All right, guys,
all right. That is Andy Baggerly, CSN Bags on Twitter, 2Gs. Always a pleasure.
You got to check out his stuff at csnbayarea.com. Very good stuff in there on an almost daily basis.
All right.